This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Electromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Richard Chang. He's a principal consultant and training lead at a company called Excella Consulting. Not very radio friendly, I have to spell that for you. E-X-C-E-L-L-A, Excella.com. And you go there and get all kinds of information. And the topic of today is something kind of interesting. We talk about agile software development, flexible software development, and see where it fits in for my listeners. I'm sure many of my listeners have been to events or read articles or heard about agile. Some have used it. Some have read good things and bad things about it. It's normally contrasted with something called waterfall, and this is going to be old news for some listeners and something kind of interesting for other listeners. And I thought what we'd do is bring in someone who has had his hands bloodied, has got his feet, you know, in the mud with this for several years, and he knows it inside and out, and I thought it'd be very insightful if you'd listen to what Richard has to say. But before I ramble on for hours, Richard, tell us about your background, how you wound up working for Excella.
Morning, John. Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on your show today. Yes, I work for Excella Consulting. I lead our Agile training unit there, as well as I do provide a lot of the training and coaching services for Excella. Excella is a small company here in DC area. We're about 120 people. We do IT services, primarily in software development, managing data, business intelligence, data warehousing, and in program management. My area is our Agile practice. And it's a company I really enjoy working with. We have a chance at Excella to work with our federal clients as well as commercial and associations and nonprofit. And the Agile work I do, we've seen a great increase in interest and implementation, especially on the federal side in recent years.
You know, before the interview started here, we were talking about your interest in Agile going back a few years. You were into Agile before Agile was cool. Is that right?
That's right. Right. Yeah, it was funny. When I first started, I think it was in the early 2000s, there was a strong divide between Agile and like the project management community. The PMI was very much anti-Agile at the time, and you didn't see, and the Agile community was very much anti-waterfall, and there was a great divide. In recent years, you've seen a lot more coming together. The Project Management Institute, which is the certifying body behind the PMP, it's the one it's the largest and most recognized project management community in recent years, has really embraced the Agile concept. The PMI actually has their own certification, the PMI Agile Certified Practitioner. I'm one of those. And so we've seen a much greater acceptance from the project management community on Agile concepts.
Do you know Mark Leonard? He's the president of PMI. I met him a few weeks back up on Capitol Hill. And this guy's real flexible and smart, man. I'm sure if he thinks Agile's going to save money and make his developers more profitable, right, more efficient, he's going to do it. So he's a pretty good guy.
Yeah, I think that's what the industry's look has seen, is that with these Agile concepts, it's not just about the kind of a touchy-feely group hug. It really is a very effective way to kind of manage what we want to try to do with the amount of budget and the amount of time we have. And it's a great model in this rapidly changing technology world.
You know, in my world of sales and marketing, people kind of liberate phrases easily. And even in marketing, today people are talking about agile marketing.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Our next guest next week is going to be HP. And guess what? They talk about agile data centers and being agile and mm-hmm. flexible. So this is not some little word that sat in a corner and didn't get applied. With this rapid change in hardware and software and mobile devices and in security, I mean, if you're not agile, you're going to be dead.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The agile concepts we see apply not only to IT and software development, but across other industries as well. At the Motley Fool, one of the local companies here, they do agile top down throughout the organization, from their software development to sales, through support and through multiple channels. We've worked with Agile in fundraising campaigns and political campaigns, managing executive leadership teams. And so a lot of the concepts translate really well across different parts of the organization.
So let's try to define this concept of agile software development, maybe talk about some of its roots, and paint the picture for some of the people who may not have heard of it or are kind of questionable about its origins.
Okay, sure. So what a lot of the software world is used to is kind of this predictive model that a lot of people call waterfall, where we're going to do a big upfront design, then we're going to develop, then we're going to test, and then we're going to release. This concept was first originated in 1970. A guy by name Winston Royce first wrote about it in 1970. And it was great early on because back then computers only did a few things. They were essentially giant calculators. But in today's IT world, our systems are very complex and require a better inspect and adapt model.
So if you're manufacturing a Toyota, chances are in the early years, you would use this waterfall technique. But companies like Toyota looked at it and said, no, maybe we can be flexible and adapt it. And this is one of the companies that actually adapted this more flexible approach, wasn't it?
Yeah, Toyota is actually a great example because they're one of the pioneers of what we call the lean concept, where they really inspected what they were doing in terms of making their cars, and they created the Toyota Production System, TPS, the Toyota Way, where they created a greater inspect and adapt model in there. The lean concept that really comes from that, or has strong roots in that, focuses on building quality in, being able to measure and visualize our flow, and a concept of constant improvement and continuous improvement and continuous delivery while respecting the people are a lot of these lean concepts that the agile world is very much aligned with.
My hero is Winston Churchill, and he is famous for saying, "Americans will always get it right after they try everything else." That's a great quote.
Yeah,
I think what's happened is people have tried to apply waterfall to large software projects and failed and failed and failed and failed. And then after they've tried everything else, they said, okay, Richard, I give up, I tap out, come on in and talk to me about agile software development. But this almost seems what the approach is. I mean, how many millions of dollars can you throw out the window with failed software projects before you decide, let's try something different?
Yeah, that's a great point. It's tough because software projects are becoming these massive projects, and what we don't want is we don't wait to get to the end of a massive project and realize that there are serious issues. From the agile concept, what we really try to do is deliver in smaller increments early to create an inspect and adapt model, and so that if something isn't going right, we can identify it early and course adjust as we go. It's much more conducive towards managing large complex systems.
The teacher in me wants to, well, there are four basic techniques for agile. You know, I don't know how to do this, four or 14, but I've heard of Lean, Kanban, Scrum, and XP.
Sure.
Perhaps you could paint a picture of these four, and maybe there's other ones that I haven't heard of.
Sure. When we're talking about the agile, what you really see most out there in the field is Scrum. Scrum is an iterative process where it's based on a concept of transparency, inspection, adaptation. We generally work in about 2 week, what we call sprints or iterations, where we'll plan, create a plan. Overall, at the project level, we have a large product vision. That's our overall plan. We'll create a roadmap of where we want to be at a high level. And then at a detail level, we'll create 2 week execution plans. And every 2 weeks or so, we will go ahead and review what's been done, review the product to make sure the product is delivering what we want it to deliver. And we'll review the process to ensure the process is working for the teams. And then we'll inspect and adapt as we go. That's the basis of Scrum. And that's what 85% of the world that does Agile does Scrum, or a combination of Scrum and Extreme Programming, XP. XP speaks a bit more on some of the programming technical practices.
Yeah, let me ask you about Scrum. So PMI has got certification for Scrum, but there's also something called a Certified Scrum Master.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Sure. So PMI has certification for Agile in general, which covers multiple concepts, not just Scrum. But the most popular, widely recognized Agile certification right now is the Certified Scrum Master, the CSM. It's what that is a great two-day course that teaches the students the basics of Agile and Scrum, at the end of which there's an exam and at which you become certified. It's a really good class and really does get the students heavily engaged and involved in understanding the Agile principles and Scrum framework.
I know the World Cup is going on right now in Rio de Janeiro.
That's right.
And so I don't want to talk about football or soccer. I want to talk about rugby, and that's where Scrum comes from, right?
Sure, yeah. That's the original concept. The concept is that in the past, the way work has been done is that I would do my work. Let's say I'm a developer or a tester, right? Someone else does their work, and I'm going to sit and wait, and then I'll do my work, and I'm going to pass it on. And it was a series of handoffs. And so Scrum, it's focused more kind of the rugby concept of Scrum, where we want to bring the whole team together and work as a team to move this ball. And so it's not so much your work, my work. It's us working as a team to achieve our goals.
Yeah, so Scrum's nothing like an athletic reference. It's more group or collaborative, and this encourages a whole collaborative approach to software development.
It's a collaborative approach, and also really reinforces the concept of ownership and accountability. We as a team, we are going to work together to achieve this goal. You should never hear statements like, that's not my job, or I'm not doing that. It's more, how can I help, and what needs to be done to achieve our goals?
Well, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about applying agile software development in the commercial world is actually pretty difficult. Applying in the federal world, it may be near impossible, but you've had some success. Let's take a break. When we come back, talk more about agile software development and the federal government. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio today, we have Richard Chang, Principal Consultant and Training Lead at Excella Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Richard Chang. He's a principal consultant and training lead at Excella Consulting. Many ways to spell that if you're listening to this on the radio. It's EXCELLA.com. And you guys are all over social media, aren't you? I mean, it's blogs and tweets and all kinds of pictures and conferences. I mean, you're everywhere.
That's 21st century. That's the way business is run these days.
It is. And I tell you, I was doing some research on the company. I said, wow, on this conference and that conference, and everyone's getting kind of pushed and pulled everywhere. It's pretty kooky. Before the break, we talked about agile software development. I think we got a pretty good idea what it's all about. In the commercial world, people try to implement agile software development to save money. And I've seen successes and failures. Now, in the federal world, I'm thinking that going to be hard as well. So compare and contrast for me, and just in general, experiences you've had with govies and experience you had with, and what are best practices for implementing this agile software development framework?
Sure. There's a lot of similarities you'd have in the government that you would have in large organizations. A lot of the initial issues are come around the misconceptions, misunderstanding, which is why it's nice to provide training to a lot of teams and programs that are starting out, so everyone's on the same page with the base concepts and ideas. Getting that language right, we realize, is a big thing so that we're all talking the same thing. From there, some of the unique nuances of agile and government is that on the government side, there is a heavier layer of governance oversight that we have to deal with. There's the project management offices, the PMOs, and a lot of agencies that are overseeing this that need to be educated on what agile is. The procurement cycles sometimes aren't necessarily agile friendly. In the federal rules of acquisition, the FAR, the federal CIO has pointed out there's no direct conflicts between the federal acquisition rules and Agile. However, most acquisition officers and procurement officers aren't trained on how to govern and measure against Agile. And that's
not in the commercial world either. I mean, they're in the same, and I always draw these parallels, is that, you know, same problems people are facing all over the world.
Yeah. The one biggest thing that you, one of the things you see a little different is in the commercial world, there is oftentimes a greater mapping to the goals, the profit and loss, or the mission. In the government world, sometimes that becomes a bit more abstracted. For programs that have a very strong mission and a very strong goal, it's easier. For those where the mission or goal is a little lost, it becomes much tougher. That and just the number of gates and checkpoints we have in a lot of programs make it sometimes difficult to use a rapid implementation model. But the government's figuring it out. They're doing a much better job than they were, three, four, 5 years ago. And there are conferences today that are dedicated to helping and events, classes that are dedicated to helping the government world understand how to work in this model.
In fact, Excella probably has some.
Well, I'm actually involved in an industry group called ADAPT, the Agile Defense Adoption Proponents Team. And we just sponsored a conference in early June helping the Department of Defense understand and implement Agile on their programs within their agency.
So if people are listening to this at 2 o'clock in the morning when there's snow on the ground, how would they find information about ADAPT? Would the Excella homepage, or where would they go?
So for ADAPT, you can probably the easiest thing to do is to Google ADAPT and AFEI. We actually work through the Association Enterprise. Oh, I forgot the F and I stand for, but it's a part of the NDIA group.
You can Google Arlington. That. Yeah.
Yes, it's in Arlington. It's a great organization. You can also go to the Excella.com homepage and find information there.
Yeah. It's A as in Apple, F as in Frank, AFEI, mm-hmm. Armed Forces Enterprise Institute.org, and they're in Arlington.
Yes.
Right near a Good Bagel place on
that's
the first
right.
floor.
Absolutely.
So I know the Good Bagel places in town.
So yes.
That's good to know. I think that's great. During the break, we're talking about college, and just to show you how old I am, when I was in college, there's this guy named David Bowie who had this song called "Cha-Cha-Cha Changes," and if you just listen to that song, you realize that, you know, that can be applied to today.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's just so many changes going on. I mean, you can't, you know, pick up a newspaper. I guess go to the Washington Post website and say changes in Capitol Hill. There's problems at the VA. Changes here. I think assuming this rapid change in policy combine that with rapid change in technology, I don't know how else you're going to get by without being agile.
Yeah, I think from an ad standpoint, that really is the quickest way, the most effective way, I should say, to get the concepts out there to the public correctly. Now, one of the biggest risks you see in the government world, though, is that the commercial world really rewards success. Right? You can fail 20 times, invent the iPhone, and you're a genius. In the federal world, it's a little different. It's a lot more risk adverse. You could have succeeded, had grand slams 3, 4, 5, 10 times. But if you have a major failure and the press catches wind of it, it's a big deal. And so that's probably one of the biggest obstacles is the federal world is very risk adverse.
Well, it makes sense. I mean, if you're a CIO of an agency and you're given priorities 1, 2, and 3, okay, that's great. And oh, by the way, 6 months into a project, those change.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. Oh, by the way, here are the preferences, and that changes. And oh, by the way, there's a new law that you didn't expect that's coming around that changes everything. It's just it's a very difficult environment. I think in the commercial world, you may be able to anticipate what's going on, and the eye in the bottom line is always there. But in the federal world, the eye may not be in the bottom line. The eye may be on the whims of Congress.
Right, which is really a call out that we do need an adaptive model. When you have this predictable model, it really makes it hard to react to changing legislation, changing landscapes. With an inspect and adapt model, such as Scrum, we see in Agile, it really does kind of it rolls the changes in more effective to your process.
I own a Honda Accord, so I'm a product owner. So What is a product owner in a Scrum?
Oh, sure. So from a Scrum standpoint, a product owner is someone that's considered kind of the voice of the program or the business side. They provide direction for the program, the needs, and really at the end of the day, what the ultimate goals of the program are and what the acceptance criteria is.
So if we were in Department of Interior,
sure,
and we had a group of people working on a project about the national parks or something, I don't know. So then there would be a person independent of the software team who would represent the interests of the Bureau of Land Management or something in regards to this project. So is that what a product owner is?
So in that scenario, that person would probably be more like a key stakeholder. What the product owner would be, the product owner is a little more integrated with the team with a strong voice to the business. So the product owner would go ahead and listen to the various stakeholders. And then from that, prioritize all the incoming data and present to the team a prioritized list of objectives of features that we want in our systems and work with the team to make sure that they understand what is really needed.
In the first block, we talked about PMI. That's where I met you, was at a PMI chapter
right.
meeting, and you talked about agile software development. I said, boy, this guy's kooky. And all of a sudden, it's come to be very, very popular. When it comes to software development and product owners and stakeholders, I mean, it gets difficult to kind of sift it all out and figure out what everything. But I imagine you must have videos on YouTube where you explain this stuff, don't you? Or Excella must?
Sure. If you go to our website, we certainly have a series of videos out there. We do a lot of presentation, speaking brown bags throughout the area. We offer great training courses that give you a good understanding of these concepts. The concepts themselves aren't complex. You can get a lot of it within a two-day class. It's just that once you go out there and implement, I strongly suggest you bring in experts and coaches to help you. What we see right now is one of the biggest issues in the industry is that Agile's gotten very popular, and you see a lot of companies claiming to have Agile capabilities that are really learning it as they go themselves. There are a handful of companies that are very good at this, and a lot of companies that claim to have capabilities that are still trying to figure it out themselves.
So excella.com, there's videos there, links to you. I like little 3-minute segments on YouTube describing what a product owner is.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would prefer that to a 100-page book.
Yes.
Now, I don't mind podcasts. I listen to podcasts like this one as well, and it's just there's a different way to communicate information. One way is through Twitter. Mm-hmm. And when I was doing my research for this interview, I saw a tweet that talked about agile development has increased team velocity, but also the pain of configuration issues. So there's a yin and yang to this on both sides.
Yeah. So Agile and Scrum, what it's going to do, it's not necessarily going to solve all your problems. It's going to help create transparency for you to see them. Right. And so any pain that you expose has always been there. We're just able to bring it to light so that you as a program, as an agency, as an organization, can decide what to do with it. What we often see is that, hey, there are collaboration issues. There's management issues. There's process issues that we have to resolve. It's always been there. We just see them better now.
If you'd like to do some more research on this topic, Roger Baker wrote an article for InfoWorld, and the article is Why Feds Are Embracing Agile. And he cites some very, very interesting statistics from the VA, and he talks about increasing on-time delivery from 30% to 80%. And this is in big, big projects, so this can really have impact, can't it?
Absolutely. Yeah, we've done Agile with organizations such as Office Personnel Management. There's a woman, Alicia Booth, who's going around giving talks about, with her programs with OPM, how Agile has made a strong difference in terms of what she was able to do with her USA Jobs team and USA Staffing, and how that's really helped, at least from the product side, them understand, here's what we really need to do within these timeframes. Here's how we can do it. As CFPB, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, they're pushing some strong Agile efforts right now for them as a new agency to really be able to put out software effectively as well. And so we're seeing it throughout multiple agencies.
Oh, I like those specifics. I'm going to have to take a break here. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Richard Chang, Principal Consultant and Training Lead at Accela Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, Richard Chang, Principal Consultant and Training Lead at Accela Consultant, E-X-C-E-L-L-A, Accela Consulting, and all kinds of stuff at their website, videos, blogs. Speaking of blogs, do you have a blog, Richard?
I had a blog. I haven't kept it up to date. However, we have a company blog, accela.com/blog. Where we have my thoughts as well as the thoughts of our other company experts and leaders.
There's tons of them. I mean, I was there this morning. I mean, they're at events, they're presenting, they're speaking. You go to events, you present at events. I mean, this is a very agile, it sounds like a dynamic company. It's really, it's like you're, you know, I'm walking to Starbucks and see Jeff Gallimore or something. I mean, in fact, I think I did one time.
Sure.
I was in a building in Arlington and I just stumbled on him. I said, Jeff, what are you doing here? And he was visiting a customer because he wanted to listen.
Yeah.
And I think that's an interesting characteristic, isn't it?
What I really like about the company, there's a lot of people with deep passion areas. So we have experts in usability, in business analytics, and then change management, and in the Java, and in Python, and DevOps. So we have people with deep passion areas in different things. And it's great when your passion areas happen to fall in line with what you do for a living. That's the perfect mix right there.
Yeah, that's great. When I think of agile software development, I think of small teams, continuous integration, kind of like Navy SEAL teams.
Sure.
You know, it's a small team,
yeah.
And they're flexible and loose, and everyone depends on everyone. But Navy SEAL teams, usually outstanding athletes. I mean, they can do the Chesapeake Bay swim, they can do 100 push-ups, they can run a marathon, and they can shoot a rifle and do many other things. So one question about agile software development, if I want to deploy agile software development, I guess I need very, very strong developers. Is that true? Or
well, my thought on that is that software development is not manual labor. It's a very skilled art and a craft. And so whether you're doing Agile or Waterfall, whether you're in commercial world or government, software developers are highly skilled people. And that's what I would look for regardless of where I am, because it's thought work and it's skill work. With that said, from an Agile standpoint, we do believe in smaller teams. I had a friend, or by small, I mean anywhere from, ideally it's about a dozen or less.
Sounds like a Navy SEAL team, yeah.
That's right. There's a lot of similarities there. I had a friend of mine works for Boeing, and he talked to me and said, hey, Rich, you know, that's great and all, but I have a 1,000-person team. And I said, David, you don't have a 1,000-person team. You have a 1,000-person program. When they break up into functional work, they're probably working in smaller pods of about, 5 to 12 people or so to get things done. And so we just want to recognize that the way you scale out Agile is to have more teams that coordinate and work together. But 1,000 people, I mean, it's a project for 1,000 people just to order lunch.
Yeah.
And so it's not really a team per se.
I work with software developers for a small company, and their personality is much different from a sales and marketing personality. They tend to be very introverted and detail-oriented and analytical. And they may not appreciate having to be in a team with everyone else. Maybe they want to work independently. Have you found that to be the case?
Sure. From an Agile standpoint, we really do push collaboration and teamwork and try and achieve the goals together. There are some that aren't naturally have a strong affinity to that. What we've seen work really well is as long as the team members can identify with the mission, the objectives of the team, it works out. They will work together. They may not be comfortable with it, but they actually kind of get it and work together. If they don't have a strong affinity to what the team and the program and mission is trying to do, it's not always a great fit. And they may select out, which is okay. If you're in a place where you don't really believe in what the team's trying to do, it may not be a great fit for you regardless of your process or your methods.
I teach over at Georgetown, and one of my students, Matt Gonter, Navy veteran, by the way.
Oh, great.
He just got the Tropio Award for Outstanding Student.
Oh,
so
nice.
I was real excited about that. And he liked being rewarded for his hard work. That is one of the problems in Agile that I see. If you're in a group of a pod or 6 or 12 people, how do you identify individual contributions? Oh, I did a lot more work than Richard. Richard got sick that day, and that was the day we had the breakthrough. I mean, it's only human, isn't it?
So I think the thing is that we reckon the team succeeds or fails together, like a sports team. Matter of fact, if you're watching basketball, there was a great basketball game on the other night where the Spurs beat the Miami Heat. I watched that game. It was a historic game, the San Antonio Spurs.
Players not as good, but they work together.
The passing and the teamwork in that Spurs team for that game three was an NBA record. 76% field goal shooting, and it was a team, and it was a complete domination. Miami, by far and away, has the best player we've seen in the past 20 years, best player since Michael Jordan and LeBron James. However, San Antonio is probably the best team I've ever seen in watching basketball, period. Maybe the early early Celtic teams of the 80s would be the next closest thing I've seen.
I've been around a lot of software developers, and when they hire the new guy, let's say old Rich Chang is a new guy, they always give him the jobs no one else wants, and that's typically testing. In Agile software development, testing is part of continuous integration. It's part of the process. And so do you expect a tester to be as competent as a mature developer, or where do they fit in, or how do they fit in?
Quality and testing is a team responsibility. From a test standpoint, the developers should be responsible for creating their own unit-level testing and ensuring that their code is clean, meaning that if we have a bug, a 3 plus 5 equals 9 type bug, developers should catch that within their automated testing. What we have our testers really looking at is more usability and business correctness. And oftentimes, the testers are analysts. And so the cleanup is we want to see the developers really take greater ownership of that at the code level. And if we have testers on the team, then they're going to help out ensuring the overall integration and quality from a business standpoint. But they're working together as a team. So I would never want to hear a developer say, well, I'm not going to test because that's not my job. Or even a tester say, I'm not going to help with requirements, that's not my job. They should all function as a unit to ensure the job gets done.
I've worked in commercial companies with large software projects. And if we introduce Agile, sometimes the pushback we get is, you mean I have to have some full-time at my ABC company here just to work with your software developers there? There's got to be pushback on that, too. I mean, okay, I have to pull someone from my staff to actually work and help with requirements during the process and do this on an iterative basis. There's got to be pushback on that.
We do see pushback. There are certain things from an Agile standpoint we like to see. We like to have greater involvement from the business side in terms of providing some needs, reviewing the work. But the thought there is that what we want is to ensure that we're building this thing right for you. And so rather than wait till the very end, because if you hate it at the end, let's say you're the business and you hate it at the end, we have no time to adjust for it because it's the end. But if you can sit there with us, at least at regular intervals, to identify, hey, what you just showed me, these are the parts I hate, these are parts I like. It's great because we have plenty of time. The parts you hate, we will adjust and fix. The parts you like are good for us to know, we'll validate that's good, and we'll move on. And so it ensures we're building the right thing.
From the perspective of a software developer, working on a team can be rewarding, it can be frustrating, and some people argue that, you know, it's demotivating because you're not getting acknowledged, mm-hmm. and you're just part of the Borg, and just move on. Personality issues with developers, it's got to take into consideration before you make this move.
So at the Motley Fool, we had a team that was a very high-functioning team, and they worked really well as a unit. And the whole company saw that, and you had one of the analysts there now is a 20-year-old kid. He's now he was a CIO. He's now a chief digital officer at the Motley Fool. The various other team members are now highly placed in the organization. And what happens is the team itself gets recognized for their contributions to the overall company mission. And so what happens is if you're an effective team, you as a team will get recognized for what you've done. And the stars of the team, the people that work in the team know what the performance is like. We work very closely together. The top performers will be recognized, and the lower ones will get the help they need to become better, or the lower ones that can't get better may not be there much longer.
And that's what's with, I've played a lot of sports teams, and you kind of know who can play shortstop, who can't, who can actually punt a ball and who can't. And there's kind of a tacit knowledge within the team of strengths and weaknesses. Mm-hmm. And the person who's managing the portfolio may have to take that into account and say, well, geez, you know, Richard over there, he's pretty good with predictive analytics, and John's a little weak in the numbers but good at requirements gathering. Maybe they have to assemble teams just like the NBA with different strengths and weaknesses.
Yeah, and actually, you know, once we have the team assembled, we don't ever I don't think we have to assign, you're going to be the head person doing this, you're going to be the lead of that, because the team will figure it out for themselves, especially if it's software development, highly technical work. They'll self-identify who's really good in these areas. All we have to do in terms of managing portfolio or managing a program is give them, here's a solution we want, and the team can figure out who does what to implement the solution.
So a team may say, hey, Rich, we need a UI UX person. Grab somebody to balance it out here.
Yeah.
And then your job as a supervisor, manager, they don't use those terms, but mm-hmm. I would use it as
sure.
terms, and say, okay, I'm going to reach into my pool of 500 people, and I'm going to grab Joe Smith over here and plug him in this team. And so there's an art to it.
Yeah, and actually, that's a great example. The best way to know if your team is missing certain key skill areas is to just ask the team. You know, the team will tell you, hey, we're fine, we're fully staffed, or no, we are short some people, or no, we're short some specific skills we need to make this thing happen.
Need a guard off the bench.
Yeah,
go trade for
go.
One, that's good. Let's take a break. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Richard Chang, Principal Consultant and Training Lead at Accela Consulting. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Richard Chang. He is a principal consultant and training lead at Accela Consulting. You can get more information on this character at excella.com. I go to websites and tool around, look at stuff, and kind of active in Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilroy. What about you folks? Do you have a Twitter feed or anything?
Sure. We have my personal one is at Richard KCHENG.
Mm-hmm.
That's my personal Twitter account. We have a company Twitter account. It's at EXCELLACO.
So it's like Accelaco.
Accelaco. Yeah. That's
good.
Correct.
And I was there this morning, all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, you guys go to conferences and take silly pictures, and here's Richard on a blah, and we're all out to dinner. There's one picture here, we're all out to dinner.
That's
here,
right,
and
yeah.
Here's the dev team. And it's just kind of, I guess it's rewarding to know that there's human beings behind these big companies. Oh, really? He's a human being. Oh, he eats. Yes, he eats, eats with his customers. Yeah, we have group things and get together and try to figure out. In fact, I think there's some kind of a program I saw you participating in, Agile for the non-IT. Did you program on that or participate in that?
Oh, sure, yeah. Agile for non-IT is something that is a very big thing. I mean, a lot of organizations, we had mentioned this earlier, are looking at creating greater efficiencies and being more effective. And they're recognizing these Agile concepts will work really well outside of just software.
Interesting. Let's take a transition here and go from Twitter to what people are thinking when they're listening to you. They're going, Richard Chang, I wonder if he's a really nerd type of guy. You know, got a pocket protector and white socks and, you know, just walking the street with his face glued to his smartphone. And, man, he goes out to dinner without you. No, he's probably typing on his smartphone. So what I've devised is a scientific 10-question test that'll find out if, in fact, you are a card-carrying nerd. And we'll report this back to Jeff Gallimore the end of the day.
Excited and ready.
So, simple questions, really. So I break into your house this afternoon. How many old-school desktops do I find there?
Zero.
That's the right answer. And how many cell phones have you purchased in the last year?
Oh, I still have my iPhone 5, so none. I have iPhone 5, and the kids have the 4s.
So no compulsive behavior there. Okay, that's good. And do you have a personal Twitter feed?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
And do you have a personal blog?
No.
Okay. And what flavor smartphone do you have? We know.
The iPhone, yeah.
Okay. And what app have you used most in the last 30 days?
So the two apps that I am huge fans of, I love Yelp. I do some traveling, and Yelp points me to the right restaurants and the right attractions. And for getting about, I have GPS in my car, but I don't use it. I use a Waze, W-A-Z-E, on my phone. I like that a lot.
Good. So I break into your house this afternoon. Jeff Gallimore breaks in your house this afternoon, and how many tablet devices does he see there?
Oh, I had an iPad, but it broke. I accidentally crushed it with my car seat, not knowing was there. So we have a Kindle Fire, which is mostly for the kids, and they really enjoy it.
What kind of social networking sites are you active in?
I do Facebook and LinkedIn.
And when was your last LinkedIn post, for example, status update?
Oh, geez. I don't post a whole lot on LinkedIn. It's more about making connections and kind of, I do a lot of professional messaging back and forth on LinkedIn.
Any LinkedIn groups you participate in?
A a bunch that that I have feeds for. A lot of it's going to revolve around the industry, Agile, Scrum, project management, software development.
Does Excella have a LinkedIn group? I never thought to ask.
Yeah. So Excella has a LinkedIn
so you can sign up and just get the feeds and see what's going on and see silly pictures of you at restaurants and Jeff Gallimore breaking into your house.
A Facebook page. Excella has a Facebook page they can like, as well as LinkedIn, as well as a Twitter.
Okay. Here's Separate the Men from the Boys here. Last book you read was electronic or paper?
So last book I read was actually both.
You can't say both. No, what was the last book you finished? Was it a piece of paper and a Kindle?
It actually was both. I actually bought the hard copy and electronic, so I can pick up where I left off. The last book was The E-Myth, I think, by Michael Gerber, about startups, and it's very helpful because I run the training business within Excella. And so that's a small startup within the organization.
So we can say you're very agile as far as your reading habits go. Agile and flexible depending on the situation.
That's right. Yeah, I like having multiple mediums. Now, the last fun book I read was with my kid. We've been reading the Big Nate series. He's 8, and we've been reading that together. And it's actually fun for me as well as him.
I wish my kids were that age, but they're all done growed up here. It's terrible.
Yep, that happens.
When an outsider looks at agile software development, they put together teams and they say, I think that the best successful teams are going to be committed, be knowledgeable, collaborative, and representative, and all be on the same page. Hard to pull together. I mean, the NBA basketball teams, hard to put together the magic formula. What's the magic formula?
It doesn't happen overnight.
It doesn't work. No. So what is your opinion about the federal government moving in the world of agile software development? Are they going to embrace it the next 4 or 5 years? Are they going to run from it? Are they going to bring you in to help train them and learn about it? Or what do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, they're definitely going towards it. About 5 years ago or so, it was a small drop in the bucket, and now we see it as a greater wave. There are big programs out there. DHS has Mark Schwartz is leading a big push there towards creating agility in their programs. They're seeing that, hey, if we want the software put out quickly and correctly, we really want to embrace it. The question now is, how do I do that? It starts with the training, having the right personnel in there, getting the right organizations, vendors, working with the government, as well as creating the right environments to support it. We'd like to see, what we then tend to do is start off with a few teams as pilots, get them to get to be really effective, take the lessons learned and spread out to other teams within the organization to kind of help it grow virally in a way.
I'm no stranger to the classroom. How do you, what's a typical training session? 20 people, 100 people, 5 people? What's a typical session? How's it structured?
Yeah, so when we do the Certified Scrum Master course, which is one that I actually teach, it's a great class. I like it. I really enjoy it. It's a 20-person class, generally max. It's a very interactive class. Standing up there in front of a bunch of PowerPoints presenting for 2 days straight is really one of the worst ways to teach and to learn. And so we create a lot of interactive exercises. We'll create simulations. We'll throw in videos, group discussions, activities, different learning techniques because we all learn different ways. And we create an environment which enhances learning. The catering we bring in is top-notch because a well-fed army is a happy army. And so we bring in a really good food. We create a great learning environment. It really helps promote the learning concept.
So typically it's face-to-face, it's not online, there's no webinars, or how does that all
There certainly
out?
Are online classes and webinars available to you. That's a good way to kind of reinforce some of the knowledge and kind of learn it. But I really like getting our teams together, getting your teams together in class together, because you all walk away with the same messaging and the same vocabulary on the same page. What you learn in class is very kind of conceptual, and you'll take it back and then adjust it towards your specific domain constraints and goals.
So let's say there's an agency out there. Let's say it's Department of Commerce. Let's grab an agency. And they maybe read about this and have a product that they're or a project that's in trouble, and they may want to consider using it. And this always happens. We're in trouble with this one. We'll call up Rich and say, Rich, we got a problem with this. We need to fix it. And so the first step is training, or what's the first step?
Well, a lot of what we do, too, is we'll go in and perform an assessment. We'll work with the teams to identify, hey, what is it we're trying to do? And we're going to help identify what are the biggest issues we have towards really achieving these goals. What are the goals? Are we even aligned on these goals? And then what are the next steps? Because the answer isn't always the same for your organization. And so via these assessments, we've seen different things. In some places, it was just a team makeup. No one understood what the project was really trying to do. There was a situation where that was the case. There's another one where the problem was mostly on the engineering side. The system in place was this big monolithic monster that if you touch any little thing, it breaks everything else. For that team, the solution is more about really reinforcing agile engineering concepts of creating smaller modular code instead of highly interdependent and woven code, and how do we transition from where you are to where we need to be. So that assessment really helps understand that if we have a project now, where are we now, where should we go with it?
You know, I think the assessment is a real good idea because then you can apply your agile set of tools. So it's like a golfer. You got a golf, another sports analogy here, I know.
Yeah.
You got a golf bag, you got a 9-iron, you got a putter, you got a wood, and what's the right tool? Well, you know, you don't always use a putter, and you may have to do something. And I think the agile experience applied to the cloud, applied to software development, applied to marketing, it fits, but you got to know your tools real well, don't you?
Yeah, there's certainly, the concepts are very straightforward, but there's a lot of nuances when implementing, especially in the federal government. There's just so many nuances to doing it in complex federal environments.
And you've got all experience for that. Well, great. If you'd like more information, excella.com. Get all kinds of information, blogs and videos and tweets, and learn about the training programs as well. You're the lead trainer there, and get
That's
all
great.
Kinds of information. Do you on-site too, or just at the classroom at your office?
Both. So we do provide training. We have public courses. If you go to excella.com/training.aspx, you will see our training offerings that are public. You can also contact me, richard.cheng@excella.com, for any private classes as well, on-site classes.
Great. We have to end the interview here, Rich. Thanks for listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'd like to thank my guest, Richard Chang, Principal Consultant and Training Lead at Excella Consulting. Thanks, Rich.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.